Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. Thanks for coming back to join us. I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello. What's going on?
Nothing much. I'm very excited about today's guest. As you guys know, I tend to sometimes swipe the most interesting guests of the SDR show. So I did that again today. You may know him from bands such as The Almighty, Black Star Riders. I wrote it down so I wouldn't mush up all the letters together. And of course, Thin Lizzy. It is Ricky Warwick. Welcome.
Hello. How's it going, everybody?
Great. I'm so excited to hear your stories for the three segments. And I have a terrible memory, so I'm not going to remember who it was, but I believe it was another member of Thin Lizzy that was on an episode of the SDR show. And at the end of the show, when we do our plugs, Ralph will usually ask the guest if they believe in ghosts. And then if they say yes, then I know they may have some good stories. And when the guest said no, and they're like, but you know who has good ones? Ricky Warwick.
Wow.
I just can't remember who the person was.
Wow. Well, yeah, I do actually. Yeah.
I'm so excited. All right. So before we get into the segments, we hear all your stories. Hold on, just another fan coming in. I usually start off with just one random question just to hear what your guys' opinion is. And so the random question of today is, first, if you have an appendix, raise your hand. Okay. Okay. So I recently had my appendix taken out 2 months ago. Maddie's had his taken out a few years ago. And I'm just curious if maybe this is a common thing that happens afterwards. So over the past 2 months, I realized I just got on the scale again. And after the whole lockdown and quarantine of just sitting in my house and not moving and eating like an animal, I never gained a single pound. Over the past 2 months since my operation, I gained almost 5 pounds. Is this a thing that happens?
Oh, you didn't get to gain 5 pounds after the operation?
Yeah, almost five whole pounds.
I don't know. I probably gained like 35 pounds after my operation. I don't think it had anything to do with it. I think it had to do with a lot of beer drinking and late night snacking.
Yeah. Did you change your diet, Shannon?
I don't think so, unless maybe I did and I just didn't realize, like maybe realizing. I just like gradually started eating more, but I guess also from like, you know, cause the first month, you know, I was so sore that I wasn't like walking as much or I wasn't using the muscles as much. I don't know. I guess I'm just a fat bastard. I just gained weight for being gross.
For what it's worth, you look nowhere near as bad as you used to.
I'm glad you guys are okay after having your appendix out. I'm sure it's an ordeal that I've yet to experience.
Knock on wood somewhere. We have a lot of jinxing that happens around these parts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I'm going away in about a month. So I have like a calorie counter on my phone now that tells you like how many calories to burn during the day, how many to eat. So I'm like eating under 1,000 calories a day. I'm getting on the treadmill every day and I have not lost a single pound.
Are you Newman?
No, I'm not using Newman. I'm just using regular Cali. I'm actually using two different calorie counting apps until I decide which one I like better.
Okay.
Are you cutting down on sugar and the carbs and all that kind of stuff?
I have. Yeah. I've cut down on sugar. I went vegan. Well, I lost 30 pounds originally when I switched to being vegan. I was just kind of trying it out to see what happens and it worked. And I didn't really have to work at it for the first year. Like it kind of just came off and stayed off and I didn't have to work at it. And now I'm having to work at it.
Yeah.
I'm just getting old.
Well, you know, your metabolism slows down a heck of a lot as you get older. It's, you know, sad to say. Take it from an old man.
Like that's it. It's your age.
Maybe my metabolism lived in my appendix.
There you go.
That fucking thing skedaddled with it, huh?
No, yeah, I'm just gonna blow up now. All right, I was just curious. I thought maybe you, neither of you had your appendix, and both of you were gonna be like, "Yeah, I lost so much. I gained so much weight afterwards, and then I lost it 2 months later and lived happily ever after."
That's can't help you there, Shannon. I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right, we're gonna get into our segments now. The first question we like to ask new guests on the show is to tell a story about either your worst date experience or weirdest sexual experience, meaning something went wrong.
Wow. Thought we'd been put on the spot. This is terrible, but it's kind of funny.
We like terrible.
I don't want to offend anybody, but I remember when I was about 18, 19, going out with my friends in Glasgow in Scotland and getting horrendously drunk, and there was a girl sitting at a table who was extremely beautiful, really, really pretty. And I remember going over to talk to her, and we got on great, and we exchanged phone numbers, as you did back then before cell phones. And I arranged to meet her a couple of days later, in Glasgow, in the city center. And now, bear in mind, I had never seen this girl stand up. Nope. I'd only talked to her. So she's such a pretty face and the whole thing. So I was really looking forward to meeting her. And I'm just under 6 foot. I'm 5'11". And it sort of Wednesday came, we agreed to meet. And I'm kind of looking around. And of course, there's no sign of this girl. And I see a smaller person walking towards me. A very smaller person walking towards me.
I thought this was going to go in a different direction.
No. And I realized that this is a small person, and very small person, because I'd never seen this girl stand up, and she's still had a beautiful face, but it was like, oh wow, I didn't expect that. And you know, we went out, and she was lovely, and she was really sweet, but yeah, you know, it was a bit of a surprise. It was a bit of a surprise.
Maybe you had seen her stand up, but you didn't realize it.
She was standing the entire time.
Maybe I was so drunk I was lying on the floor, and she looked really tall. I don't know, but I just remember, you know, and I felt terrible because, you know, obviously I thought, well, this isn't going to work and blah, but just terrible, you know. But I mean, I was 18, 19 at the time, and it was just a really weird experience, and I never really forgot it. You know,
for a lot of reasons. How, like, where does she come up to on your body? Like your waist?
Oh, you're talking like 4 foot.
Mm.
Okay. I mean, it's only a foot shorter than me.
Right. Well, you know, it's small, you know?
Yeah.
Not that I have nothing against it. I just wasn't what I bargained for. I was, you know, you stoned. I mean, and I just remember, you know, it was just one of those moments where you're like, oh, wow. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, how do I process this? You know, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's fine, but it's just, I'm just like, this isn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, just not into it. I guess there could be like a novelty to it, but I guess that'd be the wrong reason to date a little person.
Like I said, I've nothing against it. It was just the shock of it. It was, you know, when you expect something completely different and suddenly you're confronted with something that wasn't what you expected at all. And you know, in your head, you don't know how to rationalize it. And you're just kind of sort of having to think really quickly. And it was just, I mean, it was a long, long time ago. It was over 30 years ago, but wow, you know.
Hey, you're expecting a full person to show up and then.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Thank you, Maddie.
You know? Yeah. She's coming up the steps.
Yeah,
and you think she has more steps, and nope, she's out of steps. Mm-hmm. This is the top.
Yep.
I feel like that's got to be so much easier for a guy to date a little person, woman.
I feel like you're looking at my fucking box while you're saying all this, Shannon.
I glanced at the chat. I wasn't even going to take a shot at you, Maddie. Then the other way around. Then for a woman to date like a little person, dude. Like there's those reality shows, like Little Women of whatever state they do it in. And I don't think I've ever seen like a full size. Is that not the right full? An average height person.
Who knows anymore?
An average height woman dating a little dude. Like that's gotta be really tough.
Well,
yeah.
What about, what's her face? That fucking Sarah Russey girl or whatever. She's dating the smorgasbord guy.
I don't know what word. I don't.
He's
know
a little fella. All right, forget it. Right. I'm not going to say any better than I did the first time, so you may as well just move on. But what about what's his face from Game of Thrones? A little guy.
Oh, that's a good point.
He's got to have somebody, you know.
That's a good point. That's a but lot then again, of success. He's like
super famous. Yeah, exactly.
Super famous and super rich. You know. Yep,
that'll do it.
Yeah, a lot. Really good at what he does. You know.
Talented. Yeah, a brilliant actor. Yep. Mm. Yeah. So that was, you know, that was definitely the strangest dating experience. I remember trying to have sex. You know those British telephone boxes that you have, the red ones? Mm-hmm. I met the sexual wise. I remember still again being in Scotland and it's snowing. It's really cold in the winter in Scotland. And being out with this girl one night and you know, we both have the hots and we're just ready to get it on. And we go into a fucking telephone box and it's freezing and it's like a blizzard and it's just so cold that, you know, once we sort of get the bottom half of our stuff off, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's so cold. It's going like whoop. It's apparently going inside itself. I'm so cold at this point. You know what I mean? And you know, no amount of like warming it up and come on, let's get this. I'm just like, it's fucking freezing. It's 20 below. And then we're in this phone box and it's just like, this ain't happening.
Yeah, that's when that's like the cold where your dick looks up and you're like, are you kidding me?
I was trying to call somebody for help, you know, we dial for Viagra or something, but we didn't have it back then, you know, 1-800-Viagra on the phone. But no, man, I just remember that. It was like we were both drunk and fumbling around in a minus 20 blizzard trying to get it on. It's just stupid. What were we thinking, you know? But there you go.
Did you go and find a warmer place to like complete the transaction?
Oh, it was okay. Yeah, you know, it was fine after that, but it was, you know, that was definitely not the right time or place. It was like trying to have sex naked in Siberia. That's the only way I can kind of describe it, you know. Also, not that I've ever had sex naked in Siberia, but it was the first time for everything. Yeah.
Also, with the little person, thank God that was like a long time ago when there wasn't texting and stuff. So you probably didn't have to let her down at all, right? You just didn't call her again.
No, yeah. I mean, I think I did. I think I was just like, you know, it was lovely going out with you, but, you know, this isn't really, you know,
we're not seeing eye to eye.
You know, yeah. Well, there yeah, exactly. No pun intended. I think I made an excuse that, you know, I lived like 30 miles away and the distance was too far, or, you know, some lame ass. Yeah.
You'd lose sight of her after 30 feet.
Yeah, exactly. Some lame ass excuse, you know. But there you go. Plus, you know, I just, you know, I could feel like the piss taken from my mates as well. You know what I mean? Sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Real quick, guys, for fans of the show who are over the age of 21, I got something you're going to love, and that's HempireDirect.com. And they've got a new release, Delta 8 Flower. Why are you going to love this? Well, if you're a fan of marijuana, and chances are, if you listen to the show, if you're a fan of Gas Digital Network, you just might be. Hempire can legally sell you Delta 8 THC flower in 42 states. So they can get this to you legally, no problems. Hempire Direct is priced to keep you high, very high. Just wait till you hear this. When you use promo code GASFLOWER, you're going to get 50% off the new Delta 8 flower. So you can pick up an entire ounce of flower that's going to get you so high for just $75. Not sure you'll love this as much as the weed that you're already buying? Well, with promo code GASFLOWER, you can try an eighth for just $15. That's basically nothing. You can try it, and I guarantee you, this isn't on the copy, that you're going to love it, because every single person I've spoken to that's tried Delta 8 has said that it is just as good or better than regular marijuana. So it's time to stock up and throw yourself a Delta 8 flower party. So once more, that's HempireDirect.com for high quality, lab test verified Delta 8 THC. And once again, use promo code GASFLOWER, that's GASFLOWER, for 50% off. That's half off any of their Delta 8 bud. All right, let's get back to the show. Okay, we're gonna move on to the next segment, which is bad things.
Bad things with you.
And this is the part of the show where we talk about fight stories, a physical altercation that you've been in. If you've been in multiple fights, then the most memorable one. I heard you have a good one for this too.
Wow, there's been a few. I have a great scar above my right eyebrow that I got in a fight where I get into an altercation with a guy over a girl. And I knew this guy. He was my friend. We were really close, actually. And we'd fallen out over a girl. And we were at a show that was happening in our local town. And we got into it. I remember headbutting him. And we said, let's take this outside. And I went outside and I couldn't see him. And he'd ran around the corner. And as I ran around the corner, he sucker punched me like a fucking killer. Like, just boom, you know, right in the face. And kicked me. And he had these, like, winkle picker, like, the pointed boots on. Mm. This is the 80s. Boom, and my eyes split open. You know, there was blood everywhere. And we're rolling around. And I jumped on him. We're rolling around the ground. And then, like, a couple of people broke it up. But my band was due to play that night. I was, like, 18, 19 at the time. My band was due to play that night. And our drummer's girlfriend was a nurse, and she tried to kind of patch it up. It obviously needed stitches. It was so cool. We started playing. My eye just burst open while we were on stage, and it looked fucking great. It was just blood streaming down my face. You know, it looked like it was part of the act, you know. So that was one of them. The second one was a broken guy's nose.
I'm sorry. Before this story, yeah. I have some questions. So sure. who was, aside from obviously he was wrong because he handled this kind of like a little bitch that he sucker punched you, but who was right in the fight in general? Like,
oh, I was.
Okay.
It was out of order. I had gone out with this girl. I wasn't going out with her anymore. I was going out with this other girl. He walked in and tried to slap the girl I was with, which was like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, you can't do that. And that's what triggered it off. Mm. And it just escalated from there.
Wow. What an asshole. Yeah. And then he was also a member in the band?
No. He was just a friend of mine.
Okay.
And as again, we made up, you know, it's a very sort of Irish Scottish thing. We kicked the shit out of each other. And, you know, 2 weeks later, we'd apologized and shook hands and, wow, and moved on.
Okay. Yep. Broke a guy's nose.
Yeah. This was in a nightclub in Dublin. And we were there. It was during Christmas. And my wife at the time, I'd gone over for Christmas, and I'd gone over the year before, and I got into fight the year before, which I can't remember too much of the details about something. And I just got off the phone with my wife, and she says, stay out of trouble. Don't get into any fights this time. And we were in a nightclub in Dublin, and this guy was just drunk, and we were kind of in the VIP area, and he was being drunk, and he was being an asshole, and just getting a little bit too big for his boots. And he did this thing where he was just trying to slap people. Thought it was funny, slapping guys. You know, slapping on the face, blah, blah, blah. And he came up to do it to me, and I knew it was coming. And so I put my hand up like that, bang, headbutt is first line of defense. You hit somebody with a great headbutt, they're not coming back from that because their eyes water and you can break it, you know, whatever. Boom, down like a sack of potatoes. I followed through to try and put the boot in. The bouncers jumped in, pulled us apart. He gets thrown out. He threatens to call the police for GBH on me. Luckily, the bouncers had seen what happened. They said that the police came. They checked the CCTV footage because it was all filmed in the club, and they saw that he was the instigator. And so, no charges were pressed. And yeah, literally 2 minutes after me getting off the phone, my wife going, "No, I'm fine. I'm not in any trouble. There's not going to be any trouble. You know, I'm not really been drinking too much. You know, to call in or two hours later, I'm being held by the police pending an inquiry for GBH. You know."
I have a silly amateur question, but can you explain to me a little bit the benefit of a headbutt? Is it because you're braced for the impact, but the other person is not?
Yeah. And you know, if you tap somebody on the bridge of the nose, instantly your eyes fill up, your eyes water, mm-hmm. You know, right there's a real sense of the place. If you hit somebody in the forehead right there, there's a good chance you'll break a nose. But even if you just glance, somebody's eyes water and they're completely off guard. And a lot of the times they're not expecting it coming because they're expecting you to throw a punch first or a kick. Mm-hmm. But if you're like bang with your head, it, you know, 9 times out of 10, it catches them completely off guard. And it gives you then a minute to react because you're seeing if they fall down or if they're staggering back, then you can follow through. It's just terrible. I'm not a violent guy anymore. I told them this. You follow through with a punch or take it from there, you know?
You have to also have like pretty good aim because if you miss the connection of like your forehead to there.
It's a great trick. You get in close to somebody and if you start gesticulating with your hands. Hey, man, look, it's cool. I don't want any bang. You know, because they're watching you. Hey, look, it's cool. I don't want any. I don't want any fucking, you know, do all this stuff. And they're like, you know.
How old are you when you threw your first headbutt?
You'll get the, oh man, kid, school, playground.
That's eight, what I feel nine, like they teach it in fucking preschool over there. You know?
Yeah, it's known as the Glasgow kiss.
I like it.
It's known as a Glasgow kiss, you know.
That's awesome.
You're in the playground, you know, when you just learn those sort of dirty street fighting tactics that, as kids. And, you know, like I said, nine times out of 10, it works. Sometimes you'll get a guy that, you know, that's savvy and knows it's coming. And then you're like, oh shit. Okay. All right. This is a, you know.
What happens if he knows it's coming? How do you defend it?
Well, I think they can pull away. You can obviously step back. Mm-hmm. Or see it's coming and throw a dig in first. And then it gets interesting.
Has someone gotten you first with the headbutt?
Thankfully, yeah, I'm going to, next time, everybody's going to want to headbutt me now after seeing this. No, I don't think so. I think I've never really been got a good one. I think I've got one where it's just kind of caught me, and I've never really been caught with it. I mean, I've never had my nose broken, touch wood. So no, probably is the answer to your question. I've usually gotten in first.
I like this trick because I have this fear all the time of being like attacked and murdered just at any time. Yeah. So I like having an extra idea.
It's not
in
a good
mind.
Trick for us though, Shannon. We have to fucking jump up.
I know.
Excuse me, sir, while I grab a step stool to fucking headbutt you.
Come here, I want to tell you something.
Mister, you bend down for me, I gotta tell you a secret.
Maybe.
You gotta tug on his pant leg first.
You know.
Yeah.
But I, you know, we used to fight a lot as kids in school growing up in Ireland and Scotland. It was just what you kind of did on the playground, and scores were settled on the playground. And, but it's something that, you know, I can't remember the last time I was in a fight, and I hope it's a very long time.
That was going to be my next question.
That was about 12, 13 years ago that happened. So, you know. Yeah.
And so like performing and stuff, like you have security, and so like you don't deal with like a crazy fan running on stage or anything like that.
Our fans are older. So a lot of them probably couldn't get up on stage anymore. So including us, we used to, back in the days in the Almighty, when it was a little more crazy and we had a lot of stage diving, a lot of mosh pits going on. We used to bring our own security, not so much to look after us, but to look after the kids, to make sure the in-house security weren't hurting the kids. Because a lot of times you get these guys with a little bit of power, and the kids are coming over the barrier, and they'd be hitting them a dig as they're coming over. And we used to get a lot of that. And we didn't want to see our fans get hurt. You know, there's a couple of times we had altercations with in-house security where we'd stop the show and we'd get into a tussle with the security because we felt they were, you know, being too over aggressive with the fans. So then we started taking our own guy who basically would talk to them before the show. This is what the band are okay with. This is what they're fine with. If you know, if I see you, any of you guys manhandling a fan or being too aggressive, you're out the pit, you know, you're done. You're gone for the night. You're home. So, and that was cool. But I mean, you know, we have a bit of an older crowd coming to the shows now, which is cool. We have a real mixed crowd. We're, you know, but we've all ages, but it's a little bit more civilized. There's not so much moshing and stuff going on anymore.
That's so sweet, though. I wish that whole story that you just told was recorded, because that's like such a sweet thing. Like, you guys,
what the hell are we doing? What are we doing?
Oh, no. I mean, when it happened in real life, like, you know,
right.
that they stopped the show to, I wish I hit record.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Just like, I'm just so infatuated.
Back then, right? Yeah.
But yeah, because like the band stops the show to like protect their fans. That's so sweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, cause we're fans. We never really saw that dividing line. I still don't. I mean, I'm think of myself as just a mad rock music fan, and that's lucky enough to be able to get on the stage and kind of play it and reverse the situation. But at the end of the day, I'm still a fan. I still go to shows and still lose my mind when I see the bands that I really love. So we certainly had that, and we felt that, you know, our fans are obviously very important to us. We didn't want them to get hurt or get beat up.
That's awesome. Great band. Real quick, guys, for fans of the show who are over the age of 21, I want to tell you about Yo Kratom, the home of the $60 kilo. That's right, $60 for a full kilo. If you're a fan of the show, you know all about Yo Kratom. And if you're a fan of Kratom, you know what an amazing deal this is. These guys are one of the biggest Kratom wholesalers, and they created YoKratom.com so that you can buy directly at incredible prices. If you're a fan of Kratom, it's time to stop overpaying and having to go to corner stores or gas stations to get whatever it is that you're looking for. And you probably know if you're forced to go to some random store, you don't know the quality of the product that you're getting. You're limited to the type of strains they have in stock. So maybe they don't have your favorite one. But if you go right now to YoKratom.com, you can scroll around to all of the different strains that they have. They even have a combination of several different strains into one called Trainwreck, which is my personal favorite. They have capsules, tinctures, powders. It's a wonderland of Kratom at YoKratom.com. So go check it out, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Get yourself a $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. Okay, we're going to move on to the final segment, which is scary things. And this is the part of the show where we talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences. Before we hear your stories, I wanted to mention something really quickly. So I don't sleep at night most of the time. So I just like binge watch whatever garbage shows I can find. And so I found on Amazon Prime this past week, maybe Maddie can remember the name of it, but it's something to the effect of
Psychic.
Yeah, that's it. Seatbelt Psychic. And it's from 2018. And I have never heard of this show before.
Mm-hmm. Where they I didn't have realize this... it was that old.
Yeah, it's pretty old. Mm. And it's this guy who's a medium, and they have him working as like an Uber driver, or maybe it was like a regular like cab driver. And he would just pick up, as it appears to be, random people. I don't know if it's how staged it is, but he would pick up people and he would just tell them, you know, oh, there's a ghost sitting right next to you. And then, but just tell, I mean, I know this sounds ridiculous, but he would tell them stuff to really blow them away. And their responses seemed so genuine. Mm-hmm. And like people, like somebody would come in and they'd be like, oh, he's like, oh, I'm actually, you know, and the guy would be like, you know, to each their own, but I don't really believe in this whole thing. And then he would be like, oh, well, your grandfather John is here. And he said that the word blue means something to you. And he'd be like, just like,
this ruins people's days almost. It's awesome.
It's amazing.
I gotta check that out. That sounds cool.
It's so good. And so I texted Maddie and I said, we might discuss it. So what'd you think of it, Maddie?
I don't know. It's a different guy. That first episode was one thing, but that second episode, there wasn't a fucking dry eye the entire hour or whatever it was on, to the point where like Erin is my fiance. She's like, you crying? Like, no, fucking, I just have something in both my eyes, you know? I don't know. It was very like a lot of moving shit. Well, first of all, that one lady, the two friends, the ladies that were in.
I didn't watch the second episode.
Episode? Should I tell you?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give you the plot of it.
Okay.
Her husband had died, and he goes, the name doll mean anything to you or whatever? And she just breaks down like, I was his doll. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, it just fucking hit me. She goes, he was my guy. Oh, I was crushed, Shannon. Oh, my God. I wept the entire fucking every story. I fucking cried. This guy, like, I don't know. Here's the thing. It's either completely 100% staged and they're all fantastic actors, or I don't fucking know, or somebody is cluing them in and they're setting this up somehow, but it feels real. I don't know.
My idea, what I think, I mean, and this may even be too optimistic, but I think that, you know, they share the few people that it actually did work with. Mm. Like there are probably hundreds where he didn't get anything right. And along with like their ride could have been like 20 minutes and like 90% of the stuff they got wrong, but like the 10% stuff he got right. But their reactions, I mean, they did break down and
That's
they did
thing.
Seem excited. Yeah.
I've never seen it done this way where they react that like powerfully, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's way better than fucking hi guys. That asshole fucking medium in bullshit fucking Surviving Death or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Have you seen that, Ricky? It's on Netflix as a documentary or docuseries called Surviving Death.
I just started to watch it. Funnily enough, I'm just into the second episode.
This is where it gets ridiculous.
You're going to have to push on through the third and maybe the fourth to get to the fifth, where it gets to where I wept again. I don't know. Maybe you're a man and I'm not, but I cried like a little bitch that fourth episode or whatever it was. Wow. Yeah. There's it's this, there's a medium on the, that third or fourth episode where her like crew of helper ghosts or whatever. One of them was it Tommy Boy or something like that. And I'm getting chills, even not even saying it yet, but she'll go, she'll do like her little, her thing where she has to like pretend she's getting into it, you know? And she like, "Hey guys," and it's so, I'm telling you, I hid in my shirt until it was over. I couldn't fucking watch. It's very embarrassing. But that, that first episode's fucking awesome. And then that fourth or fifth episode, whichever one they go, they talk about like,
I'll stick with it. It's definitely interesting.
Just know that the third and fourth episodes, you're going to like laugh at it.
A lot of it seems like garbage. Is that one lady seemed like she might have something, but again, it could be fucking TV magic. Who knows?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on mediums?
You know, I was very skeptical about this whole thing up until I was in my late 20s, and that's when stuff started happening, and that changed everything. I have a friend over in Ireland who is not so much as a medium, but she does a lot of psychic healing and stuff like that, and she does a lot with residual spirits, you know, spirits that can attach themselves to you and affect your moods and everything like that. And she's amazing. She doesn't push it, you know, doesn't talk about it, doesn't, you know, she's very... not your typical what you expect somebody that's into that to be like. She's really cool. And I was back home in Ireland a few years ago, and I was staying at my cousin's house, and there was a few other people there were having a party one night, and she said, "This lady so-and-so has a really, really bad residual spirit attached to her, and it's in the house, and it's kind of bringing the whole vibe down and the whole thing." Now, my friend was there with he had two little kids at the time. And one of the kids was only like 4 or 5 years old. And she kept going to, there's like a stairwell, and there's a balcony on the stairs. She kept going to the balcony and pointing, going, scary gray lady at the top of the balcony. And we're just like, yeah, you know, kids, whatever, ha, ha, ha. She's just messing. And then she keeps saying, and she starts to get really, really freaked out. And so this lady goes, yeah, that's it. There's somebody here. And I remember standing, talking in the kitchen. House was really warm. You know, the heating was on full blast. And she went and she said, I have to get rid of the spirit. I have to do something. And I swear to God, there was like the iciest, breeziest blast that just came through the kitchen. And she went, she's gone. And that was it. And both myself and my wife looked at each other and went, fucking hell.
Wow.
That was insane. Because it was like, you know, ice cold. You know, the house had been really warm. There's a fire going. Like I said, the heating was on full blast. And then it was just suddenly there was a chill like you wouldn't believe.
Did the little girl like see as that happened?
She didn't know, but that was the end of it. There was no more, you know, scary gray lady. That was that was done. So
was that your first experience?
No. like I said, I was a skeptic. I was really not. Didn't really believe it. I think I believe a lot more. I'm not sure if I'm totally convinced, but there was two things that happened around about the same time. We were in the studio called The Manor in Oxfordshire with the Almighty recording an album. And this is an old manor house built in the 15th century. So it's like 400 or 500 years old. There'd been a horrific early steam train accident on the railway track. It ran past it, and 60, 70 people had lost their lives. And right in the early days of steam trains. And we'd heard stories that the place is insanely haunted, blah, blah, blah. And of course, we're like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, you know, beautiful, amazing, 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 amazing old manor house. So we get in there, and the staff that work there are going, well, that's the room that's the most haunted. Don't go in there, blah, blah, blah. And of course, we're like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's a load of crap. It's fine. It's shut up. You know, let's get on making this record. So about the first night I was there, nothing really happened. And the second night, and again, it was in the summer. It was in June. It was really one of those really hot English summer nights. And I remember just lying in bed and just having the most bizarre feeling. The windows were open. It was so hot that the windows open that somebody was in the room with me. And then the room suddenly went icy cold and I could see my breath. This is June. It's like been 90 degrees that day. It's, you know, and I'm like, I'm going, well, that's not right. And this lasted for like about 30 seconds. And then normal service was resumed, you know? So I went downstairs and told one of the housekeepers and she's like, yeah, of course, that's such and such a blah, blah, blah. You know, she haunts that room, whatever. So I'm still like, yeah, you know, maybe I dreamt it. Maybe I was drunk. I don't know.
I'm sorry, real quick. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Sorry.
So when you said before the cold happened, you said that you felt like somebody was in the room with you?
Very intense feeling that somebody was in the room.
Okay. Okay, sorry.
Because I remember lying there and needing to go for a piss and the bathroom was the ensuite bathroom and being scared, being like, fuck, somebody in the room. I don't want to get up.
Okay.
Mm. You know? And then the next day, myself and the drummer, there was like a pool table in this beautiful lounge in this mansion house. They had like a really cool pool set up. You could play pool. And again, really nice, bright, sunny summer's day. Me and Stump, the drummer, and the Almighty were playing pool. And we finished the game. And there's a few balls left on the table. And we both go upstairs to get washed up for dinner or whatever. And as we're walking up the stairs, we hear giggling, like little girls giggling. You know, like innocent sort of little young girls giggling. I said to Stumpy, did you hear that? He goes, yeah, I fucking heard that. So we go back down to the pool table. The pool table, all the balls have been racked.
Oh my God.
And put back in their place. Nobody else in the room. Nobody else in the building. It's not nighttime. It's like the sun is splitting the skies. So then that was weird. And then there used to be this little kid that would come up. There was a river nearby and this little kid lived on a boat with his mom. And he would come up and visit in the studio. I can't remember his name. Real cute little kid. And he was a lot of fun. He would hang out. But he had a little weird vibe about him. And we were in, well, I can't remember this correctly. We'd finished recording and we were in the TV lounge. And the kid had been there. And he'd left and he said something. He said something like, I'm not allowed to play with matches because I do bad things with matches. And I said, well, matches are bad. You shouldn't be playing with them anyway. He said, you're only little, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, it's okay. He said, but sometimes I don't need matches. And I went, okay. And he went, he left the house. And you guess what's going to happen? Suddenly we smell burning. And there's like a bookcase and there's some magazines and there's flames about to go up the bookcase and he's started a fire. Without a match, we get a fire extinguisher and we put it out. And yeah, that was a real. But making that record was a head trip. It was like being on a NASA trip from the day we got there to the day that we left. It was just.
Was the kid even real?
Who knows? I don't even know if it, the only thing I know it was real about that. We have an album to prove that we're actually there. But it was we had some very surreal times at that place. And then one last thing that happened there was. The girl that ran the studio, her and I didn't really get on that well. I felt she was a little bit too intrusive. She would come in when we were recording and just you know, I'm making suggestions. I'm like, hey, hang on, you know, you're supposed to look after the studio, not, you know, tell us how to write songs. And one night we're having a party, and the main dining area of the house had a table that was from an old Spanish galleon, actual big. Fuck off oak table from an old Spanish galleon. And we were kind of sitting, I was standing talking to her and we didn't really have a lot in common. We didn't talk much, but we were just kind of talking away. We did have a few drinks. I'm going to admit that. And I turned around and looked at the table and turned back to her. And she was like, I went, did you just see what I just saw at that table? And she went, yeah. I went, tell me what you saw. She said, I saw a full medieval banquet going on at the table. And I went, that's what I just saw as well.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Like that, like, you know, like, well, you know.
That's freaking crazy.
Nuts.
Yes.
Nuts. But that's not the best one. The best one is really personal. And
you're not going to tell us.
Oh, no, I will. Okay. Absolutely.
That'd be fucking awesome.
Absolutely. So I grew up on a farm in Northern Ireland that had been in my family for years. And it was a really old farmhouse. And as a kid, my father has two brothers, and they were, so the farm was divided up, and my uncle got the big farmhouse, but we used to play there all the time as kids. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was just a magical place to play, and the fields and the house was really, really cool. And my dad was born there. My grandfather was born there. A lot of family history in that house. So time passes, we grow up. Sadly, my uncle had the farm, lost the farm and couldn't keep it. So the farm for the first time wasn't in the family anymore. And we'd moved to Scotland, we moved away. And about 1994, I split up with my first wife. And, you know, I was at a loose end. Things weren't good. And I decided I hadn't been back to Ireland in a while. I decided I would go back to Ireland and just go around where I grew up just to try and sort my head out and try and, you know, see where I was at and what I was going to do with my life and see if I could find some kind of solstice there. So anyway, head back to Ireland. And I find out who's bought the farmhouse. And I think, okay, I wonder if I just go up and knock on the door, will they let me look around the farmhouse and the places that I used to play and the whole thing? So I knock on the door and this kid opens the door wearing an Almighty t-shirt, the band that I'm in. Freaks the fuck out. Goes, I knew your grandfather used to live here. I have a band. We're rehearsing this afternoon. Will you come and jam with us? I was like, yeah, we play a couple of your songs. I'm like, this is great. The guy that owned the house couldn't have been more hospitable. I was able to go around all the places that I played, hang out, the whole thing. I jammed with this kid in the band and we became friends and we kept in touch. So about 2 years later, we're playing in Belfast. And I get a phone call from Jamie, that's the name of the kid that now lived in the house. And he said, can I come to the show tonight? And I went, absolutely. I'll put you on the guest list, Jamie. No problem. It'd be great to see you. He said, any chance I can see you after the show? He said, I have something that I need to give you and something I need to tell you that's really, really important. I was like, everything okay? I went, yeah, it's fine. Just, can I see you after the show? No problem. So I leave him after the show pass and he comes back and he said, look, you know the way that house was in your family for generations? And I said, yeah. He said, well, you know, we've lived there since I was born. I'm 17 now and I've lived there since I was born. The house, they had the house inside remodeled because it's a really old house. And he said, every morning I get up and I go to school, I get out of bed, I walk across the carpet, I go into my bathroom, blah, blah, blah. He said, this morning I got up and I walked across the carpet and I stood on something. And he said, I hope you guys can see this. Where's my camera? Oh, where is it? There it is. Do you see what it says on that? It says John Warwick. John Warwick is my great-great-grandfather.
Oh, wow.
He says, I stood on this. He said, this is my great-great-grandfather, as well as on the farm, he had a bakery. And this is a ration token from the First World War that you would take to his bakery to buy your bread, because bread was rationed because of the war. And that's actually so this is over 100 years old now. And he said, why would I stand on that the day of your show?
Hmm.
When I've been walking to the house has been remodeled, I've been walking to the bathroom, you know, that path every morning. Why of all days did I stand on that? And it really freaked me out. I got quite emotional when he handed it to me and gave it to me. So I have it with me. It's in my wallet. It goes everywhere with me. I've had this now 25 years since he gave it to me.
Wow.
And you know, showed it to my dad. And my dad, when he was alive, my dad was quite an old school Presbyterian, you know, do it by the book kind of guy. And it freaked my dad out when I showed it to him, you know, which was really weird. And the last thing I'll say is that story. And the last one
I have a question. Just real quick. So just to clear it up. So that the coin wasn't like under something or like no. He had to lift something up. It was just out there on the floor where he walks every day.
That's what he said. He said he stood on it. That's, you know, amazing. It was in the carpet.
Wow. Okay. That was it.
So
okay, the next.
Yeah.
This is great.
And the next one's very short. I was just saying about my parents were very, by the book, you know, middle of the road in a good way, you know, just no nonsense. But they had a seance when they just got engaged. They got a Ouija board and had a seance. My mom and dad would never talk about it because of what happened. And I would try and get them out of it. And they wouldn't even, they would get angry when I brought it up.
Hmm.
Wow.
And they were very, my dad was right. There's no such thing as ghosts, blah, blah, blah. But if I brought that up at any point, you know, I'd get a few drinks and, Colin, tell me what happened that time you had the seance. And instantly the mood would go dark. don't you ever fucking, you know, don't ever do that. Don't ever dabble with that. Mm. Tell me. And, you know, they're not with us anymore. I could never get it out of them. You know, it was like, you know, trying to get the secret of the Masons out of my dad. It was like, you know, I'd try and do that as well. My dad was in the Masons. I'd try and get him drunk. Go, come on, what actually happens? And, you know, he would never confess. Same thing with the seance that they had with the Ouija board. Something happened that obviously freaked them out that they wouldn't talk about it.
Have you tried the Ouija board?
Nope.
Come on, what happened with the Ouija board?
Yeah, I don't want to. I have no interest. You know, I have no interest in because of the experiences that have happened, Maddie, no, I have no interest of fucking things up.
Yeah, it's leave, almost like you've had well, enough. Leave, you don't want to get greedy.
Leave well alone, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm guessing your mom also wouldn't reveal anything.
No. Or to my sisters either, you know?
How did you find out that they had the seance?
They told us. I mean, my sister told me. And so then I sort of confronted them about it, you know, come on, what happened? Tell us what happened. You know, be lighthearted. And I could see that they were actually quite upset by what had happened. And yeah.
That's great. You have great stories.
Thank you.
So we do have a listener story that I'm going to read in a second. But before that, so you mentioned earlier that despite all of these crazy experiences that you've had, you're still not 100% on board, still maybe slightly skeptical. But what do you think, or what do you personally believe happens when we die?
It's changed a bit over the years. I think I would say I believe in a higher power, but I believe that power is the universe. I believe in good and evil, and I believe that that is the universe. And I believe that, you know, religion starts from inside of us. It's within. And I think the soul is a powerful thing. And I'd like to think that the soul doesn't die when we die. I don't know where it goes. But I like to think that it certainly thrives, because I think our bodies are just a vessel for everything that's inside of us. Mm-hmm. You know, our thoughts, our imagination, our soul, our feelings, our heart, the empathy, the power that we have. I think that is too strong a thing to just die when flesh and blood dies.
That's almost exactly the same answer that Jack Osborne gave a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He said that the love that he has for his children is what made him like really believe that, like, this can't be for nothing. This like has to carry on to something.
That's, and I would agree with Jack saying that, having kids myself. I do. And I just think that the human spirit is so strong. I certainly believe in good and evil. And, you know, do I believe Jesus Christ existed? Yes, I do. But I believe he was like a, you know, he was the dude of his day. He was a righteous dude. He did great things of his day. And it's like Chinese whispers throughout the years, things have got exaggerated and stuff like that. But I do believe there's a higher power. There has to be some, but what form that is and what it is, I have no clue.
Yeah, I agree mostly with that. Have you ever done any psychedelics to like get closer to an answer? Have you?
I've done a lot of psychedelics in my time. Yes.
Did you ever have an experience that made you feel like you saw the bigger picture?
Not really. I mean, a lot of them are just musical. Suddenly, you know, the first time you do it, you realize why Sgt. Pepper's makes sense. You realize why the whole psychedelia thing in the 60s. Suddenly, you go, ah, I get it. You know. Usually when I take psychedelics, I just want to be goofy and silly. You know, when I took them, I don't get too deep on them. You know, but I've taken them in some beautiful places, like down in the south coast of England, there's an area called Cornwall, which is beautiful down there. And it's quite remote. And, you know, did some mushrooms down there and certainly felt very, very at ease. I mean, I just think as a species, we've lost our way. You know, we're so out of touch with nature and what we have right now as a species and what's on our planet. We've removed ourselves so far away from that. It's almost like we've lost a sense that you know our ancestors had. We don't have that anymore. We're not in tune with nature. We're so consumed by stuff that we have to have, and by you know, just capitalism and greed and money and blah, blah. We've totally forgotten that we're actually, at the end of the day, you know, mammals, whatever you want to call us, you know?
Yeah.
I agree. Not to take
psychedelics
from, like,
will fix your wagon with that real fucking
oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I just remind you.
Yeah, they will.
Uh-huh. Not to go in like a weird different direction with it, but I also feel like another sign of what you're saying, Ricky, is like how cancel culture is today is in my opinion, something I've been thinking about lately is that like people's obsession with like words, with like the written word and, yeah. and you know, stuff like that. And just seeing it so much, like typing, hearing through podcasts and movies and everything, that where it's also like, pulling away from the soul and from connecting with nature and the universe, mm-hmm. like that, the oneness, it's just like pulling further yeah. away by like focusing on stupid little things that
and
don't
a
really
constant mean. Like yeah. desire to destroy each other.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, we've learned nothing really when it comes to negativity and racism and hatred. That's a dead end road. There's no light at the end of that tunnel ever. And we still, you know, a lot of people want to go down that road, which I just, you know, completely dumbfounds me. When there's so much good in the world and so much, and love begets love and empathy and understanding and treating your fellow human being with respect and with dignity. There's too many people watching the fucking internet and buying into this fucking conspiracy bullshit and not questioning stuff, not asking questions. Well, it was on the internet. It must be true. But why is it true? Why do you believe it? Why is it happening? Ask questions, you know, question it. And then if you still believe it, okay, more power to you. But
you're doing too much of that thinking thing.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. You know, it's too much of the sheep thing, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the blind leading the blind, I think, sadly.
The conspiracy theorist thing, though, like people that believe in like the really crazy stuff, when you have when you attempt to have a conversation with them about it, and they're like, well, do your research. And what they mean by do your research is
I haven't done any research.
No, they're like, find the YouTube videos of all of these whack jobs living in God knows where that are like, oh, well, according to my calculations. And it's like, it's just made up bullshit by some lunatic. Mm-hmm. That's not doing research. Like, what is it? Who is this person that says the earth is flat to go against like all of the science that has ever been done? It's just as an example.
Yeah, well said, Shannon. It's science and doctors. What I don't get, I mean, you know, like sort of trying to get too political in the pandemic is like, if we break a bone in our arm, right? We go to the doctors. The doctor goes, you put a cast on this and here's some painkillers and you're not going to use this for 4 weeks. Okay, doc, no problem. It's a worldwide pandemic. Your doctor goes, put this mask on, it's going to help considerably. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. You know?
What do you fucking mean? This is imposing on my freedom, blah, blah. Imposing on your freedom? Really? Fucking, you know, we sit on our couch. We don't need to move. We don't go anywhere. We order everything online. We're not dodging bombs. We're not fighting a war. We're, you know, most of us have got food in our bellies, and people still bitch about wearing a bit of cloth over their face to help the spread of a deadly pandemic that's killed millions of people. I'm sure all of us now know somebody that's got COVID, or even worse, somebody that's passed away. You know, my mom passed away at the start of last year. Guess what? I couldn't get to fly back to Scotland for her funeral because of fucking COVID. So anybody comes up to me and goes, well, it's not real, it's made up, better think twice before they open their mouth, because there'll be more than a fucking mask they'll need. See, I'm getting violent again.
Headbutt. Even if the masks don't work, if this is what's being asked of you during this time, what is that going? How does that hurt? How does
yeah?
That
but
hurt
at the same people? Time, you got to let people take their own risks.
I know. I believe you.
Like to let him go see his mother and let her decide whether or not she. You know what I mean? Like when it was like at the height of it. I went and saw my grandmother. I was like, you know, are you comfortable with us coming to see you? She's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck, you know, just whatever. Yeah. You know, she's 80 something years old. She's playing with fucking house money anyway. Sure. You know what I mean? But like guys like you who lost somebody during it, and then, you know, your government or whatever told you you couldn't go see them because of it. It's like,
I could have gone and seen her.
Yeah.
But it was when COVID was starting to really ramp up, but that would have involved me getting on an 11-hour flight.
Mm-hmm.
With other people.
There's also like that.
Getting to Scotland, socializing with the rest of my family, and then coming back and then giving it, if I caught it, giving it to my wife or my kids, I'd never forgiven myself. And you guess what? My mom would never forgive me either. So I had to make a rational decision based on, you know, the bigger picture.
And this is right at the get-go, right?
it broke my heart that I couldn't go. But, you know, I thought, well, you know, I don't want to take the risk of catching it and giving it to the people that I love that are around me, you know?
Yeah, and super early, you don't know what the fuck's going on anyway. So no, it's like, no, I was terrified, course, yeah. you know, at first, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
Okay.
Now that everyone's bummed out.
Yes.
Now we've ruined everybody's day.
Let's see if our listener mail will brighten things up a little bit.
Oh, I hope it's fucking poor punctuation and terrible grammar.
It looks good. It's from a lady, so they're usually a little bit better with the punctuation.
Sexist.
Let's see what happens. This is from Vanessa. Hey, Shannon and Matt. I'll add Ricky. The name's Vanessa. I am scrolling TikTok a few weeks ago and came across a live that was happening. I didn't know you can go live on TikTok. I also don't know anything about TikTok. Scrolled across a live that was happening with a woman who was reading people's tarot cards and connecting with their dead loved ones. I really liked the medium's vibe, so I decided to shoot my shot. I told her in the comments, I'd really appreciate if she could connect to my grandmother who passed away a year and a half ago.
What are you doing? You're fucking leading the witness, lady. You can't fucking tell her you want to talk to your grandmother.
So she saw my comment and jumped right into the reading. I scrambled to hit screen record. I missed a bit at the beginning. But she just says she's trying to connect with you through nature. I'll show you guys the videos in a second. The first video is her spirit vibing. And the second is what she said, which was so cool. I immediately began sobbing and showed it to my boyfriend, who also started to cry. Every time I've seen that symbol since she's passed, who are you to say that? For a show. Every time I've seen the symbol since she's passed, I've thought of her and knew she was with me. Now I have confirmation and it's a beautiful feeling. So give me one moment and I will share the two videos. Hold on a second.
I don't like how this started.
You don't like how it started?
No, because it's like, I want to talk to my grandmother. You're like, you fucking you're tapping on the fucking table right now, lady.
Okay, this is the first one.
You love signs through nature. I don't know if you guys have something or something that reminds you of her. Could be butterfly, could be cardinal, could be a dragonfly. Ooh, that just popped in my head. That's a good one. Just know she is trying to connect with you. She loves you. She misses you. I see her... I don't know if she used to put her hand on like your lower back or something or on your back and she used to like rub.
Wow, grandmas never do that.
There right now. So she is around. She is sending you messages. So just look. And anytime you randomly see some sort of something, part of nature that is out of place, that is sticking itself out at you, take that as a message from her because she is trying to reach out to you. Okay. Hopefully that was helpful. Carly from Ontario.
Okay. Hold on. Don't comment yet, Maddie. There's one more video. Hold it in. Hold on 1 second. 1 second. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Sorry, I'm not good at this. Okay, here we go. This is the second video. It says, my gram sent this music box aside for me years before she passed. There's more to the live video, but it's for me. Oh, there's a dragonfly on it. Dragonfly in the music box. It says her name on it. Hmm. All right. Well, what do you think of this, Ricky?
Well, she's wearing a shirt with Ireland written on it. So it's obviously got to be a load of bollocks just because anybody that comes from Ireland is full of shit. No. That's true. No, yeah. Speaking from experience.
But it was shite.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm with Maddie on this. Maybe she gave too much away by saying grandmother and, you know, yeah, you're supposed to sort of, you know, not lead them down the path.
Yeah.
And I think she did. Listen, I love to believe it's true. I really would, but I don't know.
The dragonfly thing is weird.
No,
that's the thing that makes you go like, what was that?
The issue is, this is like, I don't know. First, Vanessa, thank you for sending the story, but we're going to look at this with an objective eye as we do with any of the stories sent in. And I feel like this is kind of like one of those cold reading things that, that like kind of phony psychics are famous for doing, which is just throwing out there a bunch of information and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
And so she didn't just say dragonfly. She said butterfly, cardinal, dragonfly.
I missed all that. All anything. Right, I heard dragonfly.
An ant.
Can we pull that lady back up, her face?
Hold on a second.
I gotta ask the age old question, like, what else would you trust this lady to do? You know,
but it's just, there's nothing, there is literally nothing specific here. She said anything out of place in nature. And guess what? A dragonfly, a butterfly, or a cardinal is not out of place in nature. That's
too many things. Those are like all the things people think dead people turn into.
Yeah.
Like karma, so I feel like, is based on turning into a dragonfly. That's what I picture when I picture karma.
Well,
what am I thinking of? Reincarnation. Sorry.
Yeah, I shared the video of my friend who passed away, and my friend, who's her sister, she said that, like, her and her daughter kept seeing dragonflies all around. And then at her memorial, we put up like the light lanterns, you know, into the sky at the beach at night. And there was, and this is probably some sort of light trick, solar flare, whatever, but they were on like a rock going out into the water, and it was my
solar flare.
Why is it funny?
It wouldn't be at nighttime, I don't think.
A trick of the light and the camera.
I got what you're
saying. I'm sorry, I don't know what the technical term is.
No, it just found it funny.
And so it was the three of them out on a rock over the water. And as they were holding the lantern, it's like dusk, they're holding the lantern. And as they're about to let it go, this like little light that appears to be fluttering spends about 5 seconds with each of them. And then when they let go of the lantern, the dragonfly disappears. And it was just like a light. It was a little fluttering light.
Was it like an orb?
No, it was like, it's going to take me forever to find it right now. But it was like, it was a light that appeared to be fluttering.
Right.
I'll show you like after we finish recording, I'll look for it. I just feel like it's going to take forever. Sure. I'm sure it was some sort of trick, but like to all of us that watched it, you know, none of us saw this happen while we were there. And it was something that made us at least feel like she was with us. And I feel like same thing for Vanessa that just wrote in. If this makes you feel better, it's not a terrible thing.
Well, I think that's it. If you take something away from it, that you can get some kind of, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, comfort from it. Yeah. Is that a bad thing? Is it giving somebody false hope? You know what? That's what you gotta.
I think as long as they're not charging you, as long as they're not gaining from the exchange of information, then I think I don't think it's a terrible thing. You know, if they're trying to like, you know, shake you down for $100 to talk to their grandmother, that's not okay. I'll show you her again, Maddie, if you want to see her.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like anyone whose eyebrows look like that, first of all. You know? It's just too much going on. Like, that's a crazy person. You know what I mean? Like, if you saw her in the street, you'd be like, I'm going to avoid this lady. She's nuts.
I was going to say maybe she doesn't have makeup on, but she does have the rest.
She has all the makeup she could find on.
Except the eyebrows. I don't know. Well, thank you for sharing, Vanessa. And if you are happy with this and it means something to you, then who are we to say that it's not true?
That's
absolutely.
All right.
And Maddie's like, no.
Don't listen to me.
Speak your mind. Hey, I've got a question for you too. So this is just what you guys think. Obviously with cell phones being as good as they are now, with all this talk of spirits and ghosts, does it concern you, and with UFOs, I guess, as well, that there's not more photographic evidence? Because everybody's taking pictures every day, constantly, all the fucking time.
I think about that, especially like there are some like paranormal like clip shows, not to keep talking about, but since he was just on, like Jack Osborne has the one called Fright Club, where him and two other guys bring like, you know, clips from the internet of that week that are supposedly of paranormal. And for me, I feel like in these days, it's so easy to fake something. That there even if that I too, see something that's just a straight up shadow for no reason walk across him, I'm like, but is it really, you know? Yeah. So it could be something that looks like real footage, but it's hard to buy it. Doctored,
I would agree with that.
That's always my first thought too. It's like, oh, that looked cool, and you're like, oh, right, 2021 deep fakes, bummer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I can't believe anything.
Yeah, but I mean, there has been so much UFO stuff. I mean, like, we talk about that here all the time, but like during the pandemic, when they released that UFO footage and everyone was like, I don't care.
By the way, there's UFOs.
Yeah. That's the least of our problems right now. Right. Yeah. Like,
All right. Okay. We've reached our hour. This went by so quickly. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. You are a great guest. We'll do a quick round of plugs and we'll let you go. Start with you, Maddie. What do you got to plug?
You can follow me on Instagram at Jester Skulls or Twitter, Dr. Ding Daddy, and Twitch.tv/Jester Skulls.
Finish your drink, Maddie.
Daddy Maddie had a couple drinks tonight.
You went all Sean Connery there, Maddie. Yes, yes,
yes. Shaken, not stirred.
Would you like to plug, Ricky?
Brand new solo album, When Life is Hard and Fast, out now in Nuclear Blast Records everywhere. RickyWarrick.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. There you go.
Awesome. Follow me on Instagram at Shannon.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I want to plug Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's right. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Follow me on Instagram at Shannon Lee 6982. Just so you know, for people that always ask me when we do the Zoom show recordings, if you follow me on Instagram or on Twitter, that's when I post when we'll be doing them. Wherever you listen to the show, you can also watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. If you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com and use promo code TTI, you'll get a 2-week free trial plus access to all the other amazing shows on the network, our entire archive, every single show that we've ever done. And starting, I believe, April 14th, definitely sometime in April, the 14-day free trial is being cut down to 7 days. So get in there now so you have your full 2 weeks free trial. And if you hate it after 2 weeks, you can get rid of it, but you're gonna love it. Send in your stories for bad dates, bad things, or scary things to thethingispodcast@gmail.com. If you listen to the show on iTunes or YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. We pick one lucky reviewer every so often to get a free piece of merch. And of course, tell a friend. That's the best way to make the show grow. Tell two friends. If you're hanging out with somebody, take their phone, pretend like you're going to sanitize it, and then just go to the podcast app and subscribe to the show and give it right back to them. Everybody wins. I believe that's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I'll be back next week. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.